Praise God. Amen. Well, you know, the good thing is not that we always want to lean on it, but we do have the messages online, praise God, so people can catch up if they miss. Amen. So all of you that are listening online right now, we're glad you're with us too. Praise God. Amen. I want to continue sharing along the lines of what I started last week. It's actually kind of a re-preaching, in some ways, of a message that we started some months back called Potted or Planted. And we'll look at Psalm 92 in just a moment, verses 12 through 15. But I remind you that this message, the title was stolen, but the message is mine, or from God, I should say. And it started some, maybe a couple of years back for me now, maybe more. I'd have to think back to exactly the time, but I was praying for someone and their spiritual growth, kind of concerned about just some of the situations that they had found themselves in, things that were impeding, I felt, their growth at that time, and asking the Lord about that. And in that time, the Lord gave me a mini vision. You know, it might be, it's just us. Can we just teach a little bit, do some extra stuff? You know, when we talk about, you hear me use the word vision or revelation, I as a teacher, I try to stay very specific to proper definitions. Sometimes we use words generically, and then we use them specifically. You know, and like, for example, we use the word miracle a lot. We say, boy, that was just a miracle that those folk were able to get through the storm. Or we say it was a miracle that, whatever. And a lot of times we don't really mean technically a miracle. We just say, wow, that was great that that happened, you know. A miracle, technically, is a divine intervention in the ordinary course of nature. So when we talk about miracle fabrics, or, you know, they're not really a miracle. They're just doing what they were designed to do. There's maybe just a breakthrough in technology or whatever. Miracle cleaners, whatever. That's not really a miracle. It's just man-made invention. So when I say vision and revelation, I really try to stay very true to these things, because I don't, you know, some people, you say things and then they expect to get a vision or revelation every day, or, you know, something supernatural, and they think that's normal. If I were to add up the times God has spoken to me in this way, it might be, you know, a few years in between the times that God gives me something quite so definitive. I think as we've kind of headed into this season of our life, sometimes you come into a new season, God will deal with you a little bit more specifically. I remember Brother Hagin saying this, and this will help you in life. He said, anytime God's given me something beyond just the inward witness, what we're told in the Bible we can expect by way of direction. He said, anytime God's given me anything more supernatural, whether it was a word or a vision, he said it was to hold me steady during difficult times, because it meant rough sailing was coming. So a lot of times people say, oh, it's so cool you had a vision, I wish I had one. Well, maybe not. Because that vision might have been the only thing that anchored your soul when things got really tough. And Brother Hagin, you know, he, in teaching us, says, you know, there's three different kinds of vision. There's what you'd call an open vision, which is the highest kind of vision. That would be, I'm looking at you and all of a sudden behind you I see Jesus and he's talking to me and I can see you see him at the same time. Then there's falling into a trance. Remember, Peter on the housetop fell into a trance. And when you fall into a trance, you're not aware of your natural surroundings. You're in fact, actually in the Greek, it means you fall over bodily. Your physical senses are suspended. You don't know what's happening around you naturally, but you're caught up in the spirit. And that's what happened to Peter on the rooftop. He had a supernatural experience where he saw into the realm of the spirit, but was not aware of the rooftop, was not aware of the people in the house below. He was just caught up in the spirit. That's another kind of vision. And then there's a spiritual vision. A dream would fall into this category. Or maybe you're praying and your eyes are closed. Let's say maybe you're in a time of prayer and someone's face flashes in front of you and you feel directed, you know, to pray for that particular individual or something like that. Or maybe God shows you something, but, you know, it's either in the form of a dream or something, some kind of vision with your eyes closed. That's what we call a spiritual vision. There's also revelation. Revelation comes in three forms. Sometimes you'll see it. Sometimes you'll just know it. Sometimes you'll hear it. And I've had all three of those at different times in ministry. But when I talk about having a mini vision, it's that revelation where you see it. And I was praying for this individual, for their spiritual growth. And in the midst of my praying, and sometimes these things will happen in response to your times of prayer. You'll be praying, asking for answers, and God will show you something. And so as I'm praying for this individual, I had a mini vision, or a revelation. The highest form of revelation is very like a vision, and you'll just see it. And it's not like the heavens are rolled back or anything like that. It's just you get an image in your mind, and you know what the Lord is saying. And God gives me those from time to time. I think in images and metaphors and similes, so maybe that's why God speaks to me that way. But anyway, in praying for this individual, as I said, All that to say, I saw them as it were, like they were a tree planted in the church, only they weren't planted. As I said in this vision, it was like they were in a giant pot in the foyer. And I saw them like a ficus plant or whatever you might see in a church. And I saw a hand, I knew that was typical of the hand of God, lifting them up out of that pot, and they were root bound. I mean, those roots were just turning around themselves, nowhere to go. You know, just in that pot. And I saw the Lord take that plant out of the church and set it in a field, and those roots went down into the soil. The branches were able to expand and get the nourishment they needed to be fruitful. And that's what the Lord said to me, is they're in the church, they're potted, but they're not planted. And like we said, sometimes people are in the church, but they're not really in the church. They're potted, but you know, if you're potted, you're mobile. You can be here today and in another church tomorrow and still look the same. There's no real commitment. If you're planted, literally planted, it takes some uprooting to get you from one place to another. And what the Lord wants is for us to be planted in the house. Let's look at this verse of scripture in Psalm 92. The Bible said, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." Like we said, God wants us all to be planted. And to be planted means to be committed, to be invested in the local fellowship. Amen. And like we said, there's lots of different churches throughout our community, around the world, and it's not that there's any one church that's the right church, but it's which church is right for you. The Bible said the Lord sets the members in the body, each one of them, as it pleases Him. So He's the one who sets us where He wants us to be. And like we said, when the Lord sets us somewhere, when He plants us somewhere, He means for us to put some roots down. You know, there's an old saying, a rolling stone gathers no moss. And sometimes people just don't have any commitment. They don't have any roots down deep into the soil of one's life. Can you say amen? So we need to put roots down where God's planted us. So in the light of this, the Lord started dealing with me about what does it mean to be planted. Like we said, whatever we call commitment, if it does not involve some investment of ourselves, then we really can't call it commitment. If it doesn't cost us something, we could say it that way. And like we said, anytime you really commit yourself to something, it costs you something, whether it's your time, whether it's your resources, whatever the case might be, it's going to cost you. And likewise, God wants us to invest ourselves in our relationships. He wants us to invest ourselves in the local church He's called us to, because not only are we receiving something through that being planted in the house, but we're also ministering something to someone else. God wants it to be a two-way street. Can you say amen? A two-way form of communication where we're ministering the life of God to others, and the life of God is likewise being ministered to us. Can you say amen? So we started talking about different ways in which the life of God can be communicated and the power of God can be ministered to us and through us to be a blessing to others. So what does it mean specifically to be planted in the house of God? Now, I just want to share a couple of ideas with you, and then we're going to go into one of the specifics tonight. But in talking about this idea, like I said, the Lord kind of brought my mind back to something another pastor had said. Pastor Nicky Gumbel, he's the head vicar of Holy Trinity Brompton Church in London, England, Spirit-filled Anglican Church. And they're really a powerhouse church. They're really touching their entire nation. And they have a course called Alpha Course. Actually, I'd like to run that Alpha Course here, actually. It's a great course of just Bible basics that a lot of church uses to get people established in the Word of God, established in the basics and the foundations of the faith. So anyway, he made a statement. He said, "We desire all of our people to do at least three things." He said, number one, he said, "We want everybody to pray." He said, number two, "We want everybody to serve." And he said, number three, he said, "We want everybody to give." And like we said, that's not necessarily the only ways in which we can plant ourselves in the local church. But if we do plant ourselves in those ways, it's great. It's a great representation of the commitment that we're endeavoring to make to the house of God. Can you say amen? So tonight I want to kind of talk about the first of those, and that is prayer. About investing ourselves into the house of God through prayer. How many of you know every one of us have a responsibility to pray? So I want to talk about that first. Go ahead and turn your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And we're going to talk a little bit about praying for our government. And I want you to listen to verses 1 through 4 very carefully. It's a very important and powerful point And particularly in the light of some of the things going on in the world today. Notice this, 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting with verse 1, it says, "Therefore I exhort that first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." And then he specifies, "For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." I want you to notice that phrase, "first of all." Anytime you see something like in the Scripture, he's trying to point out an issue of priority. He said, "First of all, I desire that men would pray." Now, let me tell you why this is important. He's talking about praying for kings and for those that are in authority. I think we can take a look at some things happening in our world today and see a good mirror image of what was happening in Paul's day. How do you know when Paul was talking to them about praying for kings and for those that are in authority, he was talking to a great degree about people who are unsaved and in many cases hostile toward the church and the spreading of the gospel. And so he said, it's incumbent upon the church that we pray that the domestic situation in our land be one of peace so that the gospel can be spread. I don't know if you've been watching the news lately, but there's terrible persecutions going on against the Christians that are in Iraq. In fact, I was on Facebook the other day and I was getting some reports, you know, from some of the different news agencies, and I accidentally clicked a link I would have given anything not to click because it showed some very graphic images of some of the abuse that's taking place against the children, just horrible ways in which they're losing their lives, women and children, no discrimination whatsoever as to who they're killing, just brutal slaughter against the Christians there in that nation. And so obviously when we see things like that, it terrifies us, but we would be remiss to think and foolish to think that something like that one time in our future couldn't happen in our own nation. I mean, there have been, as you know, uprisings throughout the world against different ethnic groups at different times, you know, just ethnic cleansings. We can go back even in recent history and see where different nations, different ethnic groups rose up against others. It wasn't all that long ago when in Rwanda there were over 1 million people killed in 30 days' time, a modern day genocide. And we're seeing that, like we said today, in Iraq. Well, when you've got that kind of civil unrest in a nation, it's very difficult for the gospel to be spread. And so what we want is to pray for our nation that we would have peace, that we would have favor with the local authorities, and that we would have favor in our nation in general, that we would continue to be a nation that honors the things of God, because blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. And as long as we honor God and honor the things of God in our nation, there can be peace, and it's easier to spread the gospel. Can you say amen? So it's incumbent upon us that we pray for our nation. So much of the time when we look at the civil situation in our nation, we're wanting God to do something. We think oftentimes we're waiting on Him, but the fact of the matter is, really oftentimes He's waiting on us. I've said oftentimes we're wanting a move of God, when really what we need is a move of God's people, because He's authorized and empowered the church to do work on His behalf. Let's look at Matthew chapter 18, and we're going to look at verses 18 through 20 here. And see, I know we talked about prayer not that long ago and touched on some of these things, but it's of utmost importance, I believe, that we just hit on some of these high spots and recognize our responsibility. You know, we want to pray one for another, and we'll talk about that, but we can pray one for another, and yet if we're remiss in praying for the condition of our nation, if we're remiss in praying for the conditions of freedom in our land so that the gospel can be spread, we can lose the very freedoms that we've enjoyed as a nation for hundreds of years. Can you say amen? Notice what Jesus said in Matthew 18, verses 18 through 20. He said, "Assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst." Now, a lot of times we've looked at that last verse, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there." And we talk about the fact that, you know, maybe we have a small crowd gathered, but hey, there's at least one or two of us, so the Lord is with us. Well, thank God the Lord's with us if there's just one of us, because He came with me. He came with you. But really what He's talking here is the exercising of the authority that God has given us in the name of Jesus. And He said that whatever we bind is bound, whatever we loose is loosed. We have the authority to either release or prohibit in our arena of influence. And when it comes to Taft, you know, when I think about these poor souls that are suffering in Iraq and nations like that around the world, our heart goes out to them. But I guarantee you, nobody has a greater investment praying for that nation than the people that are are living there themselves. And likewise, even though we want to see revival in Taft, if we're waiting for someone else to pray revival down, then we are missing the mark. Because we're the ones God's planted here. We're the ones invested with the authority that He's given the church so that His will, plan, and purpose can be wrought in our community. Can you say amen? So whatever we bind is bound. Whatever we loose is loose. And then He makes this tremendous blanket statement. And how many of you know Jesus did not mince words? If He said it, He meant it. He said, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. Like we said, sometimes we don't realize how important our prayers are. John Wesley was the one who said that God is limited by our prayer life, that He can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks Him to do it. He's committed tremendous authority to the church, and it's our responsibility both to act and pray on behalf of heaven that the will of God can be carried out in the earth. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let me read a couple of other verses. 1 John 5:14 and 15 says, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. Again, notice that condition to answered prayer. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, then He hears us. You know, a lot of people are worried about whether God heard me or not. And they're basically going oftentimes on the basis of emotion. Well, I feel like the Lord really heard me. And really, it's not based on emotion or how we feel at all. It's really based on one particular criteria. And that is, did we pray in line with the revealed will of God? And of course, the Word of God is the revelation of the will of God. And so if we pray in line with the Word, we know we're praying in line with His will. And we'll have the petitions that we've asked. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So what is prayer? It's a way of carrying out the will of God in the earth. Amen? And we talked not that long ago in talking about prayer and teaching about prayer, we talked about what happens when we don't pray. I'm just trying to get through some of these verses to lay a foundation to talk about some specific things. But listen to what the prophet Ezekiel said. This is Ezekiel 22. And we're going to look at verses 29 through 31. It says, the people of the land have used oppressions, committed robbery, and mistreated the poor and needy. And they wrongfully oppressed the stranger. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore I have poured out mine indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath and have recompensed their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord. Like we said, oftentimes prayer extends the mercy of God to those who are otherwise in line for judgment. You know, we've all heard testimonies of people who were running from God, who were not living for God. And in the due course of time, when any number of things could have taken their life or taken them out, it seemed again and again the hand of God's mercy and protection were with them until ultimately one day they give their hearts to Christ and oftentimes end up maybe in a ministry. I think right now off the top of my head is Jesse Duplantis. Some of you have heard his story of how he was running from God and sometimes he would be in places, you know, where he ought not be, you know, because he was a musician and he'd play in different venues. And one time he said, I was in a place where there was a whole lot of wrong going on. He said, I heard the voice of God speaking to me. He said, get out of there. Get out of there now. And he said, he turned to his drummer or somebody in the band and said, God says, we got to get out of here now. Of course, both of them are sinners, not living for God. Well, they got out of there, come to find out his mom had been praying for him. She had a vision. She said, I saw you in that dirty, filthy place. I told the Lord to get on you and tell you to get out of there. And of course, God did. And God spared his life again and again and watched over him during those backslidden years until ultimately, of course, he came to the Lord and now has a ministry setting people free from the power of the devil. Can you say amen? So thank God for the fact that our prayers can reach out to those who would otherwise obviously be in line, maybe for some of their own ways to catch up with them. Can you say amen? But the same thing is not just true with individuals. It can be true with a nation. It can be true with a group of people. It can be true with a family. It can be true with a community. And as long as we, the church, will pray, God will continue to extend His hand of mercy to those that do not yet know Christ, who might otherwise have lost out on who knows what. Or who might have lost their lives or whatever else, but because the hand of God preserved them, because some little grandma somewhere continued to stay in the face of God, amen, and pray for them, that His mercies would find them wherever they were. Can you say amen? So likewise, we need to pray. Here's a great verse when it comes to praying for our nation that I just encourage you to stand on. Proverbs 21:1 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, like the rivers of water, He turns it wherever He wishes. The Bible said God can do that. He can turn the heart of the king. He can influence leaders so that His will is done if we will pray. Can you say amen? You know, some years back, I think it was 1989 when the Berlin Wall came down, and I was listening to a particular pastor talking about that season and that time. And he said a lot of people were praying for that to happen. And he said, I can't tell you how many churches I heard try to take credit for. We prayed and the Berlin Wall came down. He said, the fact of the matter is, the people of Germany were praying for the Berlin Wall to come down. And that's so important to see that it was a local problem and the local people prayed. And we have authority, certainly, to pray the will of God anywhere in the earth. That's God's will, that His will be done everywhere and anywhere. But again, we've got to look at where has God planted us? Where has He called us to be salt and light? Jesus told the church, go into all the world, but you and I as individuals can't go everywhere, but we can go into the world in which we've been sent and be salt and light there. And of course, our prayers need to be directed to a great degree to those places where God has sent us. I have a heart for the whole world. I've had the opportunity to travel overseas and be in different nations of the world and have a chance to preach the gospel to a lot of different kinds of people. But you've got to ask yourself, where has God planted me? You know, you can, it's kind of like the light in this room. This is, you know, what we call diffused light. And it's not all that focused. You turn on the light, it goes every which way. But you focus that light and focus that light and focus that light to the point where it becomes a laser and it can penetrate anything. And likewise, our prayers, our focus, our energies need to be focused where God's called us to make impact so we can penetrate for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Can you say amen? And so our prayers need to be focused on our community, on our nation. Our nation has never been in greater need than it is right now. Can you say amen? And likewise, many places in the world. But our community, you know, we want favor. You know, at some point or another, we don't want to just be in this facility. We want to have a better facility. Well, you need favor. Can you say amen? And I've been through some of those, you know, building commission meetings and city council meetings, and sometimes it can be a little bit nail-biting. Amen. But if you pray, God can move on behalf of a church, on behalf of a community of people, and raise up a great work of God. Can you say amen? But we've got to pray. So we're going to continue to pray and be faithful to that. So we need to pray for our government, pray for our nation, pray for the nations of the world, pray for these governments that are so unstable and causing such, you know, just not only mass murders, but starvation. There's just so much corruption in so many of these nations that we just need to pray that God would move on their behalf and bring stability. Can you say amen? B, let's talk about praying for the saints for a little while. Go with me, if you will, to Ephesians 6. And we'll look at Ephesians 6:18. Praying for our nation and praying for saints. And then we'll talk for just briefly about praying for the harvest. But notice this in Ephesians 6:18. Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. I want you to notice Paul specifies praying for the saints. I encourage you to do a little bit of study in your Bibles, in your New Testament. You'll find out that we're told again and again and again to pray one for another. When it comes to praying for the lost, it's amazing almost how conspicuously absent Paul's admonitions or any of the gospel or any of the biblical writers are about praying for the lost. Not that we shouldn't pray for the harvest. We'll get to that in a little bit. But the reason why we need to pray one for another is if we're strong and doing what we're called to do, the harvest will be reached. You say, why is it so important that we pray for one another? Because you and I are in a hostile work environment. Can you say amen? This world is getting more and more hostile against the things of God, and we need to pray for one another that we would be strengthened, that we would be overcomers, so that the work and will of God can be done. Can you say amen? I like something the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 1:19. I want to read this verse to you, something very powerful that he says about the prayers of God's people. He's in prison when he's writing this, and he says, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Listen to again what he said. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. In other words, when we pray, a supply of the Spirit is made available to minister one to another. I remember a good friend of mine, probably my best friend from years gone by, Larry Carroll. He works for the county over in Bakersfield. He started off as a health inspector, and now he's over all the inspectors in the area. And Larry and I go way back, I mean, literally to the day I was born. He was at our wedding. I mean, he's just been a dear friend for many, many years. But Larry used to smuggle Bibles behind communist lines way back before the wall fell and all that kind of thing. And he did that for a couple of years, living over there in one particular nation and going over into the Eastern Bloc countries. And he said there were times when we were in nations, he said, you get in some of these countries, and there was such a spirit of oppression over these places. And he said there would be times where we got there and our directions were wrong, and we did not know where to go. And he said there were times where you felt the anxiety of being in a strange place. You know that secret police are very likely going... Because Americans stick out. I mean, you know, we try to act like, you know, blend in, whatever, but they're easy to identify oftentimes. And so he said, we'd be somewhere, can't find our contact, don't know what to do. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, out of the midst of that oppression and anxiety, all of a sudden you just feel your heart lighten. You just feel encouraged and strengthened, and the joy of the Lord began to bubble up. He said, one time we were just out on a street, didn't know where the pastor lived. Our contact turned out to be a wrong address. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, I just said, boys, follow me. And he just took off down a street. And as he did so, he saw a house. He just felt, that's the place. He went there, knocked on the door, and sure enough, there was the pastor waiting for them, wondering what was taking him so long. And he said, there were times, though, he said, you could feel the prayers of the saints strengthening us and just lifting us up and buoying us up in the midst of all that oppression. And how many of you know, a lot of people are going through stuff today, and they need to be buoyed up. They need to be lifted up. We can pray one for another, and a supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ can be ministered to us. I know this is a verse that's common to many, but I just want to hit it real quickly, James 5:16, and I want to read it in the Amplified. James 5:16 in the Amplified. Notice what he says. He says, confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. Now notice this phrase. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Now, you know, if you're going through something, if I'm going through something by way of a trial or an affliction, the Bible tells us to pray. In fact, let me just read this one to you real quick. James 5:13 says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Now, you know, it's funny. If you're cheerful, you don't have any problem doing your own singing. Isn't that right? I mean, all of a sudden you get a good breakthrough. You realize, you know, you got a break on your taxes, or maybe something came through that you weren't expecting, a bonus from work, whatever the case. And man, you don't have any problem singing your own song. Isn't that right? But, you know, wouldn't it be strange if you called someone up and said, I'm just so happy, sing for me. But at the same time, when we're going through something, it's oftentimes we're calling people and saying, pray for me. When the Bible says, if you're suffering, if you're going through a trial, a test, an affliction, you need to pray. At the same time, though, there's nothing wrong with getting others to pray with us. Can you say amen? And sometimes that effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man adds that extra strength to us that we need to put us over in a time of need. Can you say amen? Again, the Bible gives us a lot of prayers in the New Testament to pray. I'm going to give you some references. Cameron, you don't have to put them up because they're just references. But I'm just going to read these. If you want to write them down, you can. We're going to make them available, I think, next week. We're actually going to print them out and make them available so people can use them on a daily basis to pray one for another. But just to give you some ideas of different prayers to pray. Ephesians, in fact, why don't you put this one up, Cameron, if you don't mind. Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. This is a prayer that the Lord directed me to pray a portion of this for my church on a regular basis when we were pastoring in Vermont. And, you know, the thing is, the Word of God is very rich. How many of you know we only have 66 books in the Bible, 27 in the New Testament. So everything God said has great weight and value. Can you say amen? And so sometimes just a sentence of a prayer can carry you through a crisis. And this prayer right here, you got that up, Cameron? Notice what it says in verses 14 through 19. In fact, you know what? Let me just read it right off here. It says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. Hold right there. That's what the Lord told me to pray. He said, pray for your people on a daily basis that they would be strengthened with might by His Spirit in their inward man. How many of you ever just felt like you just did not have the resources you needed to get through the day? You know, you just felt like you're kind of running on empty, sometimes we say, and you just did not have enough in the tank to get through. Well, oftentimes what we don't realize is you're not just strengthened emotionally, you're not just strengthened physically, but we are spirit beings. And oftentimes what we need is to be strengthened with God's might, by His Spirit, in the inner man, in the spirit man. You know, Paul talks about praying in other tongues, that it's the refreshing with which he would cause the weary to rest. And sometimes we need to build ourselves up in the inward man, strengthen ourselves spiritually. And so, Lord, so I want you to pray for your people on a regular basis. Maybe this would be a good homework assignment for us this week. Pray for each and every one of these people in the church, each one of our friends, each one of our family members, that they would be strengthened with His might, by His Spirit, in the inward man. You know, if you're thinking, how can I pray for pastor? Right there. Pray that I would be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. You know, one of the things that I find challenging doing what we do right now is we've got so many irons in the fire. Of course, everybody has family life. We've got that. Of course, we work full time. And then on top of that, we've got the church responsibilities. And how many of you know, I think you understand, I just don't show up on Sunday and on Wednesday night. I mean, my wife will tell you, if I'm not at work, oftentimes I'm in the office and we're putting messages together, we're writing articles or blogs, or we're putting messages online. We stay very busy. We write and obviously provide articles for the newspaper. So we're trying all the time to do everything we can to try to get the gospel out, to somehow strengthen the way in which we're communicating to our community. I mean, we're just constantly going at it. And sometimes you'll find that all the resources you had by about 3:30 in the day you're pretty depleted. And there's been a number of times I've come home and it's not because I'm physically tired, but I'll get behind my desk and start to cool off, and next thing I know, I'll come to myself waking up an hour later. And it's not physical exhaustion, it's mental exhaustion. It's all the stuff on the inside you pour out living life. And how many of you know, I don't know, you know, maybe you, I'm sure we've all seen this before, but you can do hard physical work, and yet it's not as tiring sometimes as mentally draining work, or maybe dealing with a family crisis or going through certain things like that, or even an illness. It's not just a physical thing, it's the emotionally draining thing. And sometimes what we need is not just to be strengthened outwardly, but to be strengthened inwardly. So this is one of the best things you can pray. I pray, Lord, today for Kay, that she'd be strengthened with might by your Spirit in her inner man. I pray for Cameron as he goes to Hawaii, Father, that you would strengthen him with might by his Spirit in the inner man. How do you overcome temptation? I'll tell you, you're strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inward man. Can you say amen? Remember, Jesus told the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, pray lest you enter into temptation. And sometimes if we don't pray, we just don't have the spiritual strength and resources we need to go the distance. We become very vulnerable to the suggestions of the enemy. Not just temptation, but accusation. All of a sudden we're feeling lousy about ourselves and calling ourselves all kinds of stuff because we just don't have our defenses strengthened to withstand the assault that he's bringing our way. But if we're strengthened with might by his Spirit in our inner man, and thank God the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Can you say amen? So we need to pray one for another. You and I have a job to do. We can't afford to wake up weary, worn out, and spent. We need to wake up in the morning, amen, with a spring in our step. We need to be able to move forward with power in the day. People are watching us. We are Christians on display. Can you say amen? And we need to be on. And the only way we can do that is if we are indeed strengthened with might by His Spirit in our inward man. If you didn't get anything else tonight, I think that would be worth the price of admission of coming tonight just to hear that, to pray that both for yourself. Don't just, you know, you don't have to just pray this for others. You are a Christian too, and you need to pray for you. So pray that you would be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inward man. Let me give you a few other references that you can write down. Like I said, next week I'm going to make these available, at least the references, so that you can take them home, personalize them, pray them for yourself. My favorite is Colossians 1 through 9. Karen, we might as well look at it. Colossians 1, 9 through 11. This is my favorite because it just seems to kind of encompass all the other prayers of Paul. And I pray this particularly for my kids a lot. And the reason why is, like I said, it just seems to hit all the high spots. Notice this. Paul said, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Hold it right there. Think about that. What if you were filled completely with the knowledge of His will? How many people walk around saying, "I just want to do the will of God. I just want to do what God wants me to do for my life," especially young people. And I mean, it's a big world. There's a lot of different career paths to choose. I mean, I want to do what God wants me to do. That's been my cry my 30-some-odd years of ministry is, "Lord, I just want to do what You want me to do." Amen. And so this is a great prayer to pray for people that don't know the will of God. "Lord, I pray that they would be filled with the knowledge of Your will," but He didn't stop there, "in all wisdom." In other words, it's not just enough to know what, but you got to know how and when. Because timing is everything. And God can show you some things, but you can do things prematurely and they won't work. It's kind of like you arrive, you know, 2 days before the party started and there's nobody else there. And sometimes people are like that in life. They're just out of sync with the plan of God. They have the plan of God, but they were so eager to get to it that they maybe rushed through some necessary steps. Can you say amen? You know, and so pray that we be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom, His know-how, and spiritual understanding. In other words, not putting your interpretation on things, but understanding His will the way God wants you to understand His will. Let's go on. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Notice this, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I love the idea of every step I take, there's a corresponding fruit bearing, a corresponding fruit production. In other words, no wasted motion. I love that. Amen. Let's go ahead and go to the next one. Then here it is again. Strengthen with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience, that means endurance, and long suffering with joy. Now these are very wordy prayers, I understand that. And so you might want to use a different translation. This is New King James. You might want to use New Living or some of the other translations. They're a little bit easier, but I encourage you to take these very prayers of Paul and personalize them. I might pray like this. I say, Lord, I just pray for Cameron today that You would fill him with the knowledge of Your will in all wisdom and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that he would walk worthy of You unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, that he would increase in the knowledge of God, and that You would strengthen him every single day with might by Your Spirit in his inward man. And that's how I pray. And I know, for one thing, here's the good thing. Remember, prayer is establishing God's will in the earth. So if I pray in line with His will, I know He hears me. If I know He hears me, I know I have the petitions I've asked of Him, right? We saw that in 1 John 5:14 and 15. So if I'm praying in line with His Word, I know I'm praying in line with His will. I know He hears me, and I know He's moving on behalf of my prayers. Can you say amen? Let me just give you a couple more references. You don't have to turn to these. Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. And these are prayers for revelation. Paul said, you know, I pray for you that you would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. You know, sometimes we'll see cartoons and they paint a little light bulb coming on. You know, sometimes we need the light bulb. Can you say amen? Come on over our lives. And God shows us something, or we have insight. When I shared earlier about that little mini vision I had and seeing the transplanting of that plant into good soil, that was a revelation. So a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And God can show you things that in an instant make all your confusion clear. Can you say amen? And so pray for a spirit of wisdom. What is wisdom? It's God's what to do. Sometimes we don't know what to do in life. So it's an excellent prayer to pray. And there's other things in that Ephesians 1 prayer as well. Philippians 1, 9 through 11 is another great reference. Philippians 1, 9 through 11. And then there are several passages that are great to pray for leaders. And probably we're going to get to some of those next week. We're going to kind of hit some of the high spots again on this next week. And I'll touch on some of these. And then we'll also talk about praying for the harvest. I think this series is going to go a little bit longer than I anticipated, but that's not anything new. Can you say amen? But I want to leave you with this. If there's one thing that I think we should get out of this, it's that if we're going to make an investment into our local fellowship and invest ourselves in the church, I can't think of a better place to start than prayer. The good thing about prayer is that the ground is level. In other words, we're all called to pray. You don't need a special anointing or a special grace. You don't have to have someone hands laid upon you and impart you a special prayer anointing. We can all pray because we're all children of God. Can you say amen? And if you're a child of God, if you're born again, then heaven, that God is your Father, Jesus is your Lord, and you can use His name to establish God's will in the earth. But particularly praying one for another, as I said, as we move forward aggressively to make a difference on our community for God, the devil's not going to just lay down and say, well, that's wonderful. I'm so proud of you guys that you're doing a good job for Jesus. He's going to stick up his ugly head and try to thwart us at every turn. Can you say amen? And next week, as we talk a little bit about praying for the harvest and for doors of utterance to be opened, the Apostle Paul talked about effective doors of utterance that were opening for him, but that there were many adversaries. And so we're going to talk about how to press through. Amen. How to press through the press. How to press through the resistance that sometimes comes when we're endeavoring to do the will of God. Can you say amen? All right, let's pray. Father, I pray, Lord God, for our church, for our local congregation, for the people in our assembly, our family. And Father, I pray that each and every single one of them tonight would be strengthened with might by Your Spirit in their inward man. Father, I pray that you would fill them with the knowledge of your will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that they may walk worthy of you unto all pleasing, and be fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, and strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joy. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that as we move forward to reach out and touch our community, I thank you, Lord God, that as we pray one for another, we'll have the sufficient prayer support and strength undergirding us so that nothing can keep us from continuously moving forward, making a difference for Jesus. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Amen.